Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code Howie10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show. The new Aviva in Malden opens today. Now, here's Grace Curley.
All right. I want to start with what I'm feeling right now. Because you're listening. I know that you want to know what's actually going through my mind, not whatever I had planned for the day. And I just went on the computer in the green room and I went through some of the videos that are coming out from this disaster of a press conference. And I'm going to be honest, I keep it upbeat. A lot of people tend to like the show because it is pretty light and upbeat. But there are some days where when you watch one of these pressers and you just see what we're dealing with, that, and I haven't said this in quite some time, but I miss President Trump so much. And I don't think I even realized how much until today. Until you see like Putin meeting with Biden and Biden has his sunglasses on. And he's putting his jacket on and off. He's saying, as usual, I got to read from my list of reporters. He's yelling at Caitlin Collins about a question that's not even hard to answer. Completely loses his mind. And then he repeats. And I think this is the part. There's a lot of cuts here we're going to go through, but I think the one that really ticks me off the most is when Yamiche Alcindor asks him about Putin's comments on the Capitol riot and Black Lives Matter, and he says there's no comparison because the Capitol rioters were criminals and they killed a police officer, which I believe that's been debunked, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been debunked.
Unless they can cause heart failure or whatever.
So he repeats that bold-faced lie, and then he says there's no comparison to Black Lives Matter. Last time I checked, a lot of people died during those peaceful protests. Does David Dorn ring a bell? Retired. But I consider him a police officer. And his death was live-streamed on the internet. It's just, it's not that I expect him to be able to come up with great answers. Or even answers you can understand. I don't expect that. But stop lying. That's the part of him I find so interesting. It's like the only time he manages to get into a groove, you know, is when he's spreading fake news about Republicans. That's the only time he tends to feel confident, you know, in Geneva. He's like, oh, I'll go, oh, the Capitol riots. Ooh, this is my sweet spot. I'm going to take my jacket off for this one. The guy is just a liar. And sometimes you forget, like I'm talking to Libby Emmons earlier, and you talk about how he's clearly struggling with something. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what it is. But he's clearly struggling with decline. And you start to feel bad for the guy. But you can't. Because he's so smug, and he's a liar. Let's play this.
Yamiche.
Thanks so much, Mr. President. Did you say that you didn't issue any threats. Were there any ultimatums made when it comes to ransomware? And how will you measure success, especially when it comes to these working groups on Russian meddling and on cybersecurity?
Well, it's going to be real easy. They either, for example, on cybersecurity, are we going to work out where they take action against the ransomware criminals on Russian territory? They didn't do it. I don't think they planned it in this case. And are they going to act? We'll find out. Will we commit act in terms of anything affecting, violating international norms that negatively affects Russia? What are we going to agree to do? And so I think we have real opportunities to move. And I think that one of the things that I noticed when we had the larger meet is that people who are very, very well informed started thinking, you know, This could be a real problem. What happens if that ransomware outfit were sitting in Florida or Maine? and took action, as I said, on their single lifeline to their economy.
Hold on. Can we pause for a sec here? I just have to say, he has an uncanny gift at making something more unclear as he goes. Like, the longer he goes for, you can ask him a question. And like I said before, I'm not expecting him to be able to answer it in an eloquent way. But he ends up not just not answering the question, but making the entire issue far more confusing. You know those things in, like, Rain Man when all the equations are floating around in the air? That's how I feel when he's talking. I'm like, whoa, I'm lost. He makes you start to try to understand his way of thinking, and it's just really, really long-winded and nonsensical. I don't even know what the question was at this point because we're somewhere totally different.
Let me be clear.
Please do. We need a little clarity. All right, continue.
Mr. President, when President Putin was questioned today about human rights, he said the reason why he's cracking down on opposition leaders is because he doesn't want something like January 6th to happen in Russia. And he also said he doesn't want to see groups formed like Black Lives Matter. What's your response to that, please?
My response is kind of what I communicated, but I think that's a ridiculous comparison. It's one thing for literally criminals to break through cordon, go into the Capitol, kill a police officer, and be held unaccountable. And it is for people objecting and marching on the Capitol and saying, you are not allowing me to speak freely. You are not allowing me to do A, B, C, or D. And so they're very different criteria. Steve Holland.
Huh. So he's referring to the death of Brian Sicknick, which he was not killed by the Capitol rioters. That's a fake narrative. And it's just amazing. I'll bring it up again. 77-year-old retired police captain David Dorn was shot in the early hours of June 2nd, 2020, after interrupting a burglary of a pawn shop. The incident occurred on the same night as protests in Missouri over the killing of George Floyd. However, the protests were several miles away and had disbanded a few hours earlier. All right, well, Wikipedia has done a nice job of covering that incident up. But, I mean, leave out David Dorn from it completely. Not that you should, but if you want to. And just focus on the violence that ensued during Black Lives Matter. I mean, you don't have to do any research to remember it. There was bricks going through storefronts. There were CNN anchors like Ali Velshi or MSNBC, wherever he's from, standing in front of burning buildings and saying, everything looks great here. Reporting live. Nothing's going on. It's peaceful as all get out. And there's just flames engulfing the entire area. So I love how there's no comparison between the two because the January 6th riot was so much worse. It was the worst thing since the Civil War. What a fraud. And then the craziest part of the whole thing, which we were just talking about in the green room, is he starts walking away. And it was a real messy exit, like, because I think the jacket didn't help. He had the jacket on, the jacket off. So he's got to grab the jacket. He looks like me, Jared, when I'm leaving the studio for a remote. And I've just got all sorts of stuff in my hands. I just look a mess. Got a laptop, a charger, my sunglasses. So he's got all this stuff in his hands, and he walks off the podium. He's got the Ray-Bans on, and he hears a question from Caitlin Collins. And it wasn't really an offensive question. I mean, when you think about what they used to ask Trump, which was like, how do you sleep at night being such a horrible person? This was pretty much a softball. And Biden turns around before going into the White House. Or I'm sorry, not the White House, before going into the building. Where he is, and he turns around and he starts screaming at Caitlin Collins as if, you know, she works for OAN or something. I don't think he knows she's CNN. She's on your side, bro. She loves you. She wants you to succeed like nobody else. Let's listen to this.
I am not going to walk away on this.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident he'll change his behavior. What do you do all the time? When did I say I was confident?
I said
let's get it straight. I said what will change their behavior?
is that the rest of the world reacts to them and it diminishes their standing in the world. I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating the fact.
But given his past behavior has not changed, and in that press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. So how does that account to a constructive meeting as President Putin?
You don't understand that. You're in the wrong business.
Is the summit with China?
All right, now I need clarification because, you know, we're all about clarity here at the Grace Curley Show. What was the last thing he said? If you don't understand that, that's your own business, maybe? It was hard for me to understand that.
Is the summit with China?
I don't know what it was. We'll find out.
You don't understand that. You're in the wrong business.
You're in the wrong business.
You're in the wrong business.
You lying dog face pony soldier.
The only thing he said in that entire press conference that was true is when he said, I'm not confident of anything. That passes the smell test, okay? Zero Pinocchios on that one. Glenn Kessler approves.
Actually, Glenn Kessler chimed in. He also said it was hot, and it in fact was hot in Geneva. So he said
good. Two
things true, you Republican.
Yeah, this is, we're going to have more of this on the other side. This is just it's not a good look. Not that we expected him to come out and do a great job, but it's... I love how he gets mad at the press. And I've said this before. He treats the press like poop on his shoes. And they deserve it because they're the worst. But it's funny to watch these people who... I like your sunglasses, Mr. President. We love your dogs. What kind of ice cream did you get? And he just continually... talks down to them, laughs at them, yells at them, gives them no access to his White House, and they don't care. They're completely warped by this guy. It's quite a sight to see. The reviews are in for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier. One user wrote, simple to use and easy to install. Just plug them in. I have three dogs and I bought three. I love the change. We've been talking about this for weeks. The Thunderstorm helps with allergies and with smells. It just really purifies the air. It's a small device, but it's really effective. And actually, it's really quiet, Jared. Sometimes you turn it on, you don't even know it's on.
Yeah, there's no loud fan noises or this constant hum that you hear all over the house. It's silent but effective because it ionizes the air, and it actually that cleans the air around you. It creates a super oxygen is what it's called, and that gets rid of allergens, get rid of pollutants, smells, viruses. The only thing it cannot clear up is a Joe Biden sentence.
Well, yeah, it's clear, but it can't be that clear. Order today and order more than one because you're going to want more. That's the trend I keep noticing is people like to have a few all over their house.
I have one in my car. It's great. It comes with a little USB. You just plug it into your USB port. Your car smells great, too.
Yeah, see, these things are, they're really the perfect, and they're the perfect gift if you want to give it to someone else to try. You will love it. Order the Thunderstorm today at EdenPure.com. Click on the Grace banner and put in code word GRACE10. By the way, I guess Joe made a joke about invading Russia. We'll get to that on the other side. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, an update. Joe Biden has the high-stakes meeting with Vladimir Putin that could have lasted for 10, 12, 15 hours. It actually went 2.5 hours, just enough time for a nice movie. It was shorter than expected, and then they both came out and did separate press conferences. Joe Biden's was a lot livelier than Vladimir Putin's, surprisingly. I don't know what kind of ice cream he's eating today, but he decided after he... You know what? And here's the thing. I'm sure... I'm not saying he has an earpiece in, but if, hypothetically, he did, I'm sure his handlers were saying, all right, you can leave. You're good. You're good. You know, fly the nest. Put your aviators on. He puts his aviators on. He starts walking to leave. And then Caitlin Collins catches his ear with a pretty standard question that a journalist would ask, to her credit. And he loses it. He starts, you know, shaking his finger at her, saying, I never said that. Where the hell did you get that from? And then she answers him. And he says, if you don't understand that, then you're in the wrong business. Very condescending. And now what's happening, and I do have to refer to Twitter on this one because it's kind of blowing up. Stephen Miller, who you guys know is like my number one Twitter follow, he has started a bit of a movement on Twitter for Caitlin Collins. You wouldn't think he'd be her biggest fan, but he loves this. He said, I stand with Caitlin Collins, a dedicated and great journalist. Misogynist attacks on female reporters not only undermine them personally, but journalistic institutions tasked with guarding our press freedoms. This is unacceptable. I stand with Yamiche and Dana Bash and all the brave female White House reporters forced to take this kind of abuse day in and day out. What Joe Biden did was dangerous and only encourages workplace stereotypes. And then, lastly, he says, the way he points and shakes his finger at her, every woman has been that woman.
He is fantastic.
And then he's also tweeting at Jake Tapper saying, like, are you going to stand silent? Silence is complicity. Stand up for Caitlin Collins.
Say her name.
It's just crazy that she asked a pretty decent question and he loses his mind. I mean, if you can only imagine him in a situation where the press were being as brutal as they were to Donald Trump, he would have a complete meltdown. I think he'd take the jacket off, roll up the sleeves, and do a little Irish.
There'd be something going on behind the school gym, definitely.
Put him up. Let's go.
Marcus of Queensbury rules.
Who's up next? Jonathan Smith from the AP. Let's go. Give me a punch. Punch me right there in the stomach. It's hot as a rock. But instead, he's just yelling at Caitlin Collins for asking him, you know, about the meeting he just had with Putin and why Putin, you know, won't even admit to the cyber hackings. There was another thing that happened where this was a big day for Joe. And you know what I love? I think he made a joke when he came out where he said, long day for you guys. And I think it's probably because he saw them all getting like trampled before earlier to get into the press room. But it made me laugh because I'm like, no, it's not that long of a day for them. I mean, your meeting only lasted 2.5 hours. They were probably there a few hours before, but it's a pretty, for most of us, that's a pretty standard work day. It's a long day for Joe because he's usually, you know, has the bowl of ice cream by 4:30 in the afternoon. But for most people, it's pretty standard.
Yeah. And the 2 hours and 38 minutes was total meeting time. Like the first, there was 93 minutes of meeting. Then there was a 45 minute break. And then they came back and met like a second time. So the combined meeting time was 2 hours and 38 minutes.
I would
with
have,
a 45-minute break.
Jared, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall during that meeting to really see what went down behind the aviators. I don't think we're ever going to know the truth.
I want to know how many Russian insults were laid under breath to other people.
Yeah, or how many times Joe said, let me be clear. My mom used to say.
He talked about it. He was like, yeah, I heard Putin was quoting my mom.
Oh, Lord, help us. By the way, Joe Biden did make a joke about invading Russia. We'll play that on the other side. And as one of my texters pointed out, you can always text into 63566. Start your text with the word curly, C-U-R-L-E-Y. As one of my texters pointed out, remember when Trump made a joke at one of his press conferences? I think he was impeached for it eventually. But we can joke about Russia invading Russia. That's NBD. No big deal. We'll be back with that sound cut that you definitely don't want to miss. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Everybody, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I've got a cut sheet of pure gold, and I'm not letting Howie Carr get in here and play these before I do. So we're going to get right to it. I do have to say, though, from Axios, it says, Biden says he gave Putin a list of 16 critical infrastructure entities that are off limits as targets for cyber attacks.
Childcare? Paid leave?
No bridges, I'm sure.
Of course not. That's not infrastructure.
And someone replied back to this, Congresswoman Tenney. She said, here's a better idea, Mr. President. How about you tell Putin that cyber attacks against Americans are off limits, period, no exceptions? I think that's a good idea. You know, forget 16. Let's just say leave them all alone, you know? I wonder if the 16 were non-private businesses. He's like, you can keep going after the private sector, but don't come after anything that, you know, we're involved with.
I'm only giving you 3 codes to our power grids. You're not getting all 6.
I guess Biden said, to be a good reporter, you have to be negative at life. Again, frustrated by the tone of the questions. I apologize for having been short, he adds, which I'm guessing was towards his freak out at Caitlin Collins. Again, I would understand if he were getting hard questions or questions at all. They're not even questions. They're just basically comments, open-ended comments that he can chime in with. And, you know, maybe take a layup, maybe hit a home run, and he blows it every single time. If this guy were asked 3 of the questions that Trump got, he would lose his mind. He would break his aviators in 2. It's just pathetic. It really is. And then he wants you to believe that, oh, the press is so mean to me. Give me a break. You were on the cover of Time magazine this week with your aviators on, looking like you're in Top Gun or something. Like you're a hero. Like you're in a Rocky movie. He is completely out of his mind, and we got to get to these cuts. So, Jared, I'm going to let you have a little bit of free reign here because you know these better than I do, but I do have some specific requests. I definitely want to hear the invading Russia joke. So if we could get that, and then I'm going to basically hand it over to you. Let's go.
Let's not abide by international norms, and yet you need those international norms to be somehow managed so that you can participate in the benefits that flow from them. It hurts you. That's not a satisfying answer. Biden said he'd invade Russia. By the way, that was a joke. That's not true. But my generic point is, it is more complicated than that.
Some jokes you just keep in your head. Not everything has to be said out loud.
He is... The texter brought it up. Hey, maybe Russia could find Hillary's missing 33,000 emails. Ha ha, treason! That joke's about invading Russia.
When you have to tell people things are jokes, which seems to be a pattern of his, your material might need a little work. That's a joke, by the way, you dull class. Boy, laugh, you stupid bastards.
Wow, you guys are a dull bunch.
All right, let's go through the list here. Let's start with cut 1, please.
Been a long day for y'all. I know it was easy getting into the pre-meeting. There was no problem getting through those doors, was it? Was there? Anyway, hello, everyone.
Ooh, he got a little camel reaction action there.
Oof. The you know it's bad if they're not laughing. Because they're like a bunch of trained seals. If they're not laughing at your jokes, yikes. So, by the way, when he was getting on Air Force One, he shifted back to the Capitol riots and how bad Trump supporters are and how, you know, horrible everything is here. It's so funny because there used to be this general rule that when you're abroad, you do not talk politics. You don't talk, you know, conservative versus liberal. This guy is just, he's just talking about anything he can to keep himself semi on point. And like I said before, that's the only time he seems to hit a stride is when he's lying about January 6th. He mentioned again that it's like the worst thing since the Civil War. He loves that line. He's got that one memorized and ready to go. It's like a musician who has a couple great hits and they just keep playing them over and over again. All right, let's do cut 2, please, Jared.
And where we have differences, I want President Putin to understand why I say what I say and why I do what I do and how we'll respond to specific kinds of actions that harm America's interest.
To be fair, it's going to be hard for Putin to understand why you say what you say when the rest of us are having a hard time following.
It's not just Vlad, my friend.
And no, Vladimir in this one, he's part of the majority. He's not part of the minority. Cut 3, please.
It's not about just going after Russia when they violate human rights. It's about who we are. How could I be the president of the United States of America and not speak out against the violation of human rights?
Did you get the sense that he was realizing he was president at that moment, too?
Well, sometimes he forgets, it. Yeah. He said, you know.
How can I be a senator from the United... Oh, nope. Right there in bold, says president. Cut four, please, Jared.
We don't derive our rights from the government. We possess them because we're born, period. And we yield them to a government.
All right, now I'm excited for five because this is a habit I notice about Joe Biden where he'll start quoting. And here's the thing, guys. I notice it. I'm going to be a little self-deprecating here. I notice it because I do this. Sometimes you start up like you're going to quote something and then you realize halfway through, ugh, I'm going to butcher this. And you kind of just trail off. This is a habit Joe Biden has. And it doesn't help that he always wants to quote things like the Constitution because it just gets tricky. It's like when he wants to say Galapagos. Some things you're better off skipping, but he can't help himself. Cut five, please.
Because that's what we are. That's who we are. The idea is we hold these truths self-evident that all men and women, we haven't lived up to it completely, but we've always widened the arc.
That was just the bullet points. Yeah. Skipped over a couple words there.
It's not so much a declaration as a Cliff Notes of Independence.
Cut six, please.
Well, now I can tell you what I was intending to do all along, and that is to discuss and raise the issue of strategic stability and try to set up a mechanism whereby we dealt with it.
Now I know that there's going to be different reactions to these cuts. Some people go, oh my gosh, please stop playing them. I can't take it anymore. Some people think it's mean to play them and comment. But to quote Joe Biden, let me be clear. Okay? Let me be clear for a second. No one is showing these cuts. You're not going to see these cuts on CNN or MSNBC. And I do think it's important for people to understand how bad this is, that he is really struggling out there on the national stage. And just because you're not going to see it from Jim Acosta or Brian Stelter or Joe Scarborough, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. So we're going to keep playing the cuts. Cut seven, please, Jared.
To work on a mechanism that can lead to control of new and dangerous and sophisticated weapons that are coming on the scene now.
Now, he starts talking about cybersecurity, which is a big issue right now, considering a lot of cyber hacks are happening. Cut eight.
So we agreed to task experts in both our countries to work on specific understandings about what's off limits and to follow up on specific cases that originate in other countries, either of our countries.
What's off limits? Why don't we just say everything's off limits? Stop hacking us. Is that too much to ask?
Listen, hacking's going to happen. It's just what you do in the countries.
And then this is one of my favorite cuts from today, cut nine.
I caught part of President Putin's press conference.
Must be Trump on the brain. He's always in his mind. Cut. Now, Jared, I know we're not going to have time for all of these, so let's pick out a couple that are really good that we want to get to. Let's do cut 18.
And so it was kind of after 2 hours there, we looked at each other like, okay, what next?
Cut 15, please.
I pointed out to him, we have significant cyber capability. And he knows it. He doesn't know exactly what it is, but it's significant. And if in fact they violate these basic norms, we will respond. Cyber. He knows. In the cyber way. Number two.
Wait, hold on. Hold on a second. That is a sound I will need to have isolated for the rest of the show.
Definitely. That cut's going to...
It sounded like air coming out of a balloon.
Well, that's how he's going to respond cyberly in the cyber way.
Yikes. Also, one of my favorite things about Joe is that, because I'm in front of a microphone a lot, and you don't really, it's good to be close to the microphone. It is. It's not necessary to have your mouth on the microphone or to try to swallow it.
Number two.
So he leans in. He's a big leaner. He leans in, cut 16.
Well, the reason it didn't go longer is when the last time two heads of state have spent over 2 hours in direct conversation across the table, going into excruciating detail. You may know of time. I don't. I can't think of one.
Does he think he's the first person to ever be president? He really thinks that's amazing. They were talking about him sitting at that table for 5 hours. He could only squeak out 2.5, barely. And he thinks that is the coolest thing ever. When was the last time? Huh? I can't remember. And I just have to say, this whole idea, and I know, guys, I'm sorry. I'm being a little mean-spirited, and I apologize. But I do think it's necessary, because no one else will be. This idea that he is a man obsessed with detail, you know, this is a common theme, excruciating detail. It just doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up for me. Because here are some details. Where are you? What time is it? You know, those are basic things. And they like to pretend that he's a Socratic man with all these big leather-bound books in his briefcase, talking about, you know, theories on philosophy and political science and, you know, crunching down the numbers and getting into the details. I don't buy it.
In the cyber way. Number two.
If you asked me right now, if I had to listen to one sound for the rest of my life and I had to choose between Bill de Blasio eating a cheeseburger, Jerry Nadler eating a tuna melt, or that sound coming out of Joe Biden, I don't know which one I would choose.
Well, don't forget this one.
The Dr. Fauci sound. All these people are making these strange sounds. All right, let's play just a few more here before we go to break. Cut 22, please.
One of the things that I noticed when we had the larger meet is that people who are very, very well informed started thinking, you know, this could be a real problem.
Oh, and Peter Ducey got a question. The one horse pony got a question at Geneva. Cut 27.
You've said that you were going to press China. You signed on to the G7 communique that said the G7 were calling on China to open up to let the investigators in. But China basically says they don't want to be interfered with anymore. So what happens now?
The impact, the world's attitude toward China as it develops. China's trying very hard to project itself as a responsible and very, very forthcoming nation. That they are trying very hard to talk about how they're taking and helping the world in terms of COVID-19 and vaccines. And they're trying very hard.
I have to say something right now, and this is something I find very frightening, is both when he was asked about Russia and China, his response about what he's going to do in response to, you know, whether it's their human rights violations, their hacking, you know, either way, his response is they're not going to do these things because of their standing and how it's going to look for them. And I just have to tell Joe, other countries aren't as concerned with feelings and optics and, you know, pats on the back as we are. And I say that as someone who loves this country, and I always have, I always will. But there are other places out there where Joe Biden's opinion of them is not going to be the biggest thing in the world. China doesn't care if Joe Biden's going to say, well, everyone's going to look at China and be really, really disappointed in them. China's like, okay, sounds good. Thanks for the heads up, man. You think Vladimir Putin's sitting around at night going, oh, but, you know, we could do that hacking, but Joe is just, he's going to be so disheartened by our decision. No! No! They're actual tough guys. They're not fake tough guys like Joe. Oh, boy. All right. When we get back, we'll have Howie Carr. We'll play some of these last ones before the show ends. Don't go anywhere. It's The Grace Curley Show.
Number two.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. A lot of people out there are noting that Biden was a lot harder on Caitlin Collins than he was on Vladimir Putin. I don't know if Caitlin Collins has anything to do with all the hackings happening here in the United States, but he really, something she said struck a nerve with the president. Today's crossover is brought to you by Exit Realty. With locations all over New England, Exit Realty has you covered. To learn more about the Exit Realty difference, go to exitrealty.com/New England. I'm joined now by the car in the car crossover. Howie Carr, thank you for coming on the show.
Was this as bad as when Donald Trump told Miss Universe that she ought to go on a diet?
This was bad. I can assure you that him, I don't know what it was. He thinks they're being hard on him. And actually, Howie, I don't want to cut off your time here, but do you mind if we play a couple more of these cuts?
Go right ahead.
Let's do cut 13. This is Joe getting out his trusty list.
I'll take your questions. And as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So, Jonathan, Associated Press.
This is the new thing that he really thinks is...
This is the Associated Press that wrote those two fawning stories yesterday, one of which said that Donald Trump in 2016 asked Vladimir Putin to release Hillary Clinton's emails. A joke. Again, for the millionth time, that was a joke. And everybody knew it was a joke 5 years ago when it happened. They know it's a joke today, and they just couldn't help themselves. Kind of like Biden saying that Brian Sicknick was murdered again today.
But you know what the difference is? When Joe Biden tells his joke and no one laughs, he has to clarify and say, that was a joke, by the way. So he covers himself. With Trump, he says it and just actually gets laughs.
Right.
Also, let's play this. Biden loves to talk about pudding, and he didn't disappoint today. Cut 24.
I don't say, well, I trust you, no problem. Let's see what happens. You know, as that old expression goes, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. We're going to know shortly.
Why can't he just say the proof is in the pudding? That's the way I've always heard that. You know, and he's such an Irish street guy. Why doesn't he quote Mr. Dooley? Trust everybody, but cut the cards. I mean, that's the classic Irish American version of the proof is in the pudding.
Why doesn't he just not say any of these things? Do we really need that expression? Like, do people need to be told the proof's in the pudding? I think most people have a good idea of
that. Well, he said it three times in the last 4 or 5 days.
So you're just giving him new ideas.
Well, I think he it's like quoting the Declaration of Independence. He just keeps trying it. One of these days, he's going to get everything right.
By the way, guys, Howie and I will be at the 110 Grill in Woburn on Friday. Make sure you come on by and check it out. It's going to be a great show. Make your reservations, the 110 Grill in Woburn.